Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Blackhawks Talk Podcast. I am Pat Boyle, joined this week by Nick Gismondi and Charlie Romeliotis. We break down the Blackhawks' struggles against Central Division foes Dallas, Colorado, and St. Louis. Is there a common thread between the struggles of the Blackhawks? What's the latest on the injuries to Shaw, Strome, and Keith? We'll also get into the Mark Crawford situation as he is on leave while the team investigates the allegation made against him. And we set the table for the Bombs trip to Boston and New Jersey. It's all coming up on the Blackhawks Talk Podcast.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
So Charlie and Nick, the Hawks face five straight Central Division foes. They get 3 points. Started out great. Get three out of four against Dallas. You get absolutely shellacked against Colorado. You know, I mean, I know Friday the Hawks outshot and outchanced them, but that game was never in doubt. Saturday was bad. And as Brent Seabrook put it, following the 4-0 blanking of St. Louis, you know, we were terrible in the last three games. So they get 3 points out of a possible 10. And the margin for error on this team is slim, especially when these games are so valuable against division foes.
Yeah, it's concerning, especially the way they started the trip with the Dallas home-and-home swing and picking up three out of a possible 4 points. And I thought they played really well in Dallas. They probably deserved to get that second point, but you know, it came down to a skills competition, as Robin Leonard likes to say. And then, obviously, at the home game, they win 3-0, and I thought they played really well. Corey Crawford was on his game, and then you know, they turn in three. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the effort. I don't know if, you know, this team, like you said, Pat, doesn't have a lot of margin for error. So when they aren't on, like, they've been trying to raise their minimum level for a while now. And I think that's what Jeremy Colleton always likes to say. So when they're good, they're good. And when they're not, it seems like things spiral out of control quickly.
Out of fun is gone now too, right? So you're on that run. Things are going great. Patrick Kane's on a 15-game point streak. Everything's good. Winning games against tough teams. You're having fun. It was a looser room. It was looser morning skates. And now you're seeing things tighten up again, right? Because now you're losing in situations, and now you're gripping your stick tighter. And, you know, Alex DeBrincat, again, can't buy a goal. Like, he's had some of the worst puck luck and just in general luck that I've seen in a long time. Like, tonight, perfect opportunity off the post. So I think, you know, you've got to try to find a way right now to change the mentality. You've got to break the monotony. You've got to do something out of the ordinary, and you've got to find a button to push that's going to reignite things, because you're trying to cook mac and cheese on the stove right now, and you got no gas, and you're just hitting that starter button and nothing's clicking.
And, you know, you're not with the full complement of ingredients, to continue your analogy there. No Shaw, no Strome, no Duncan Keith. And, again, back to this margin for error. I mean, this team, when it's at 100% as far as everybody available, they can stay in hockey games. You start picking a Duncan Keith away from a D-Cor that certainly misses Duncan Keith. You take Shaw away. You take Dylan Strome away from Kane and DeBrincat, and all of a sudden you're asking other players to do things that are maybe a little out of their comfort zone, and you're seeing what's happening. You know, the energy and the effort was there at times against St. Louis. It just wasn't there for the full 60, and I think that that's what was disappointing. You know, you had an opportunity here, you know, to against, you know, the defending Stanley Cup champs, you know, after two ugly games against Colorado, to kind of erase that, jumpstart this little mini road trip you're going to go on, and it didn't translate at all on the ice on Monday night.
Yeah, it looks like they're just getting frustrated so quickly. Like, you can even see in the first period, like, and I know they went down 2-0 fairly quickly, but, like, you could see, like, that they weren't winning some 50-50 battles, or the puck was hopping over their sticks, and, you know, they would come back to the boards and they would slam their sticks, so, and it was only in the first period. Yeah. Like, there's still so much time left in the game, and you can see when things aren't going your way, it does get inside your head that, like, you know, I know we say you have to earn your bounces, but when you're not getting the bounces, it's like you're looking for one to maybe just turn your way, and when it doesn't, it compounds the frustration, and I think that's what we saw tonight against St. Louis.
Yeah, and look, like Pat, I like the way you started that off. I mean, listen, you're down a lot of key ingredients right now, and those are guys that make a difference not only on the ice, but they make a difference in the room. These are voices. These are stalemate guys that you start to panic, or maybe not panic. That's the wrong word. I take panic back. But you start to add to the frustration. It's like, okay, now we don't have these guys, and you know we're hanging on, and we're barely in some of these games, and now we're losing a couple key ingredients. And you know, the other thing too, you know, Jonathan Toews isn't really going yet. You know, you want him to start scoring some goals, and that frustration is coming out, unfortunately, in some penalties and things like that. So, yeah, you got to find a way to change the direction right now. And you know, Pat, you played hockey. Charlie, you played. Sometimes it's maybe doing something crazy and maybe something unorthodox, just to kind of get the thing moving in a better, different direction.
Yeah.
Well, you could tell the captain was certainly frustrated in his post-game remarks. He wears his emotion on his sleeve. So we talk about some of the guys that are going to be back. So Drake Cajullo should be back for that Boston game. It looks like Dylan Strome, I know he was on the ice at the morning skate. He should be available, you would think, Thursday as well?
Yeah, I think so. He said he skated on Sunday on his own, and then he obviously joined the team for morning skate on Monday. So it really looked like he's itching to get back in the lineup. And the Blackhawks, I don't think they're going to rush this. I think, you know, he was only out for a week, so I don't think conditioning is a factor here. You know, you give him 4 days of practice, and he should be ready to go on Thursday.
Well, and he's symptom-free right now, right? I think that's the big thing to keep in mind at this point. If he's skating with the team, he wasn't wearing a no-contact jersey today. So, you know, you're on the final steps of getting him back into the lineup, and that's a guy that wants to be back in. And to your point, I think he's young enough and in shape enough that a couple of games off the ice or practice is not really going to affect him very much. But, yeah, I would say Strome is also very, very close. And to that point, I would think Duncan Keith also as well. They're not going to throw him on a long-term injured reserve, and he's moving around pretty good. I wouldn't say he's too far off either.
And Robin Leonard had flu-like symptoms, so you would hope that, you know, he'll make the trip. And if he's not back in the crease on Thursday, he's backing up Corey, ready to go on Friday. You know, hey, let's put a bow on the Robin Leonard situation that we saw Saturday when he got pulled in Denver. Look, I the way I saw, I mean, I don't think either Corey or Robin gave us the A-plus efforts that they've been giving almost every single night. That said, I don't think it was on their shoulders either that they got blown out of both of those games. But what he looked at towards the bench there as he exited, and whether he said wake up or however it was said, I didn't really have a problem with it. Did you?
No, not at all. And it didn't seem to me like he was saying it out of frustration that hey, you guys hung me out to dry. I think he's just saying, like, okay, this is hopefully the spark that can change us or that can change the complexion of this game. And it was directed to the bench. Like, it wasn't, I don't think he was frustrated at the coaching staff for pulling him or whatever. I think he was just trying to light a fire under his Blackhawks teammates, and they made that the goalie change. And you can even see Crawford. It kind of seemed like he was like, hey, like, there's nothing you could have done in any of those goals.
I agree with you, and I think that what we've learned about Robin Leonard over these last few months is that he is this type of a leader. He's going to be vocal. He's going to be verbal. Most of the time he's doing that inside the locker room and not necessarily in front of cameras on a bench, but the situation warranted it, you know, first time in a while that he's been pulled. So, you know, you're going to say something. He's an emotional guy. I don't hate it, and I don't think anybody on that bench hated it either. I think it is what it is. You know he's going to do something, and there's nothing wrong with it.
So it was just last week after the games against Dallas, we were like, all right, you know, there's some momentum here. The Hawks are just a few points out of the final playoff spot, and now they're 1 point from the basement in the West. They're 6 points back of the eight spot and six teams to leap in front of them. I ask you guys this question. Are they closer to the team that was, you know, ready to make a run at a wild card spot, or are they more the team that is flirting with the basement?
I think they're the team right in between. You know, like it feels a lot like last year where they're, you know, they spend all – I know last year there were a lot of circumstances with the coaching change and injuries with the goaltending situation, and they didn't have the depth that they have this season. But it feels a lot like last year where, you know, we even saw it a couple weeks ago. They finally are inching into that playoff spot, and then things kind of go sideways and then they're chasing again. So it's such a mental grind, and you can even see it's wearing on the guys in the locker room when they string together four consecutive wins or get points in eight out of nine, and now they have one win in their last seven games, and you can see it's like, oh my God, here we go, back to square one of trying to rattle off four straight wins just to get back inside the playoff picture and sniffing a playoff spot. So it feels a lot like last year, and you hope that at some point it is going to change and they can just ride the momentum. But when things spiral, like they're spiraling quickly.
Yeah, you got to get the reins on this horse before it decides to run it, and that's unfortunately the situation they're in. They're facing a little bit of urgency now and a little bit of pressure. I still, and I know I'm the positive guy, and I catch a little bit of flack for it, but I still think that this is a good hockey team. I just think that they're coming up against situations that are just like, you're like, come on. I mean, tonight was another one. They outshoot them 38-30. You know, DeBrincat's hitting posts. You're in good positions to score, but you're not really getting quality scoring chances tonight. So you finally are out shooting a team, a good offensive hockey team, so you're pushing back against them a little bit, but you're pushed to the outside, and you're not really getting anything of quality tonight. So it's like you do one thing right, but then two other things start to go sideways on you. So it's about putting it all together for me, and I think they're capable of it because we've seen them do it against good hockey clubs in – But the frustration, I think, is the consistency. Why can't they play a full 60 minutes? Why can't they string more than three or four games together? And I don't know what the answer to that is, and I think that lies in between the ears of all of those guys inside the room. It's a mental thing, not a physical thing right now.
To answer my question, I would say they're only a wild card contender when at full speed or full strength, meaning Keith and everybody – The full complement of players that we're normally used to seeing are at the ready.
Yeah.
When you take away, and this is really the first adversity this team medically has faced, you know, in the last year plus, you start seeing just how paper thin the margin for error is. I mean, you look against speed teams. I mean, it was mind-boggling the prime real estate that the Blackhawks allowed the Avalanche to see on Saturday. I mean, I felt like I was back in October or last year when, you know, Jeremy was implementing his new system where, you know, you weren't protecting the house. That guys are following, going below the goal line. And you know, Nathan MacKinnon is left wide freaking open in the slot. You know, their Achilles heel, teams with speed. And to me, I've been disappointed with the step back in defensive zone coverage in the last week.
Yeah, and the offense also hasn't been there either. Like, even the Dallas game, the in Dallas, you know, they score one goal in 65 minutes. And, you know, they played well on the second of that home and home. But, like, even again, like, they're just not generating enough. And it is time to you know, Patrick Kane is carrying a bulk of the offense this season, and Jonathan Toews and Alex DeBrincat, like at some point they absolutely need to step up their games. And Brandon Saad, I thought he was the best forward tonight against St. Louis.
And, I agree.
You know, like they just when the offense is going, they can outscore a lot of their problems, and when the offense isn't clicking, they can't out defend their problems, and we're seeing that right now.
Yeah, and I don't know as though I wouldn't say that DeBrincat and Taves have played bad. I don't think that's the case. I don't think so either.
But they got to start producing.
They
got
to find goals, and I think once it does happen, I think especially for a guy like DeBrincat and Taves, once you get that monkey off your back per se, then it's going to start to rain a bit. I don't think in terms of stepping up. Yeah, okay. You know, it's just about finding the back of the net here for these guys, and just, you know, then they loosen their grip on the stick a little bit. I am very impressed with the way that Brandon Saad has played. I think not only over the last few games, but through the course of this entire season, I think he's probably been the most consistent guy night in, night out, with the puck and without the puck.
I thought Vedin showed a little couple spurts on Monday night that were impressive. He's got some speed. That is evident. What else? Kubalik, Kampf, Nylander at times stood out. I mean, look, it goes back to the quality of chances just really aren't there. You know,
yeah.
Not enough guys going hard to the tough areas, to the paint.
Well, look at the best scoring opportunity that you had tonight, right? I would say that it was probably DeBrincat's shot that hit the post, right?
Yep.
The reason why that opportunity presented itself was because you've got Kane in front of the net. Now, okay, the screen is one thing, but rebound is another if that comes off the pads in a different way. So throwing bodies to the front of the net, something that I haven't seen a ton of. So your secondary scoring opportunities are being missed because there's no one there when those rebounds are presenting themselves. And tonight there was a couple prime opportunities where rebounds were nice and big and juicy, but, you know, nobody right there to try to pick it up. You know, the best opportunity that they had to score was that DeBrincat shot because Kane was in front of the net with the screen on Jake Allen. So, yeah, get to the net. More of that, I think, is important, too.
And capitalize on your power play opportunities.
Yeah.
Once again, they lose the special teams battle. St. Louis cashes in a 1-2 power plays. The Hawks go 0-2 on theirs. Again, giving up a shorthanded bid. That was the best look on the two Blackhawks power plays, was the breakaway they allowed going the other way. So, you know, I thought in that Saturday night game in Colorado, it's 3-1 late first period. The Hawks get a 5-on-3, but DeBrincat had just been involved in a fight and was off for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You go to the 5-on-3, and you have to put Nylander in DeBrincat's spot, and sure as you know what, there were a couple of grade-A scoring chances, one-timers available where Nylander missed the whole 4x6, and you'd like to think, at minimum, Cat puts that on net.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And this is why I'm conflicted about this Blackhawks team, because you said it at the beginning how, you know, they're the second worst team in the Western Conference now. It's like, this doesn't look like the second worst roster in the Western Conference. They're not putting it together. They're not putting it together at the same time. Like you said, the power play struggles, but the goaltending is there. Then, you know, maybe the goaltending is at off nights for the last three games, but now the offense isn't there, and now you put those together and it really looks bad. So if they can put it all together, like, I want to see it for a couple games in a row where you put it all together and be like, okay, this team can win several games in a row.
And Nick, that's what Jeremy said after the two Dallas games. He's like, all right, that right
can
there,
work.
Bottle that. You know, that's what we're preaching. That's what we're talking about. That's what we want to see. That's what you guys did. And look at the results. Should have got 4 points. You got three. And then he comes out tonight. He's like, "We didn't play with energy or execution we needed," and it's like it's almost like a schizophrenic team.
Precisely, and that's just it. It's the consistency right now. It's like we've been saying, this team knows how to play. We've seen it. We saw it a couple of games ago. So if I'm a player, if I'm a coach, I'm banging my head right now against the wall. But, you know, you're kind of like, guys, come on, and you know the 5-on-3. You know, those are bummers, right? Because, you know, teams that normally, and we've heard it said before, and then Connie said it, and I know Foles and Edzo have said it too, if you're not scoring on a 5-on-3, you're probably not winning a hockey game. And it's not only to do with not only physically putting the puck in the net, but it's also a mental thing, right? If you're up two guys and you can't get a goal, well, your mentality, whether you like it or not, and whether you're a professional or whether you're a 13-year-old, you're thinking, okay, well, if we can't beat them with two extra guys, how are we going to beat them at 5-on-5? You know, so... I mean, obviously some offense here from on the power plays would be good too. But I like what you said, buddy, Charlie. This is not the second worst team in the Western Conference, there's just no way. They've got to find a way to get it together, and when they do put it together, it's going to be a beautiful thing.
The Hawks were shorthanded on the ice on Monday, and again, hopefully they will be getting Strom and Kajula back, and Shaw hopefully won't be too far around the bend, and Duncan Keith as well. But they're also shorthanded behind the bench. I'm sure many of you saw the accusation that former NHLer Sean Avery made, claiming that Mark Crawford kicked him back in the day. The Hawks released a statement on Monday night right before the pregame show. Here is how that statement reads. The Chicago Blackhawks will be conducting a thorough review of assistant coach Mark Crawford based on the recent allegations that have been made regarding his conduct with another organization. Mark Crawford will be away from the team during this time, and the organization will have no further comment until completion of the review. So, do you guys, let's start with this. Do you see this as an issue? I mean, he is by far, you know, the veteran of that coaching group. And I'm sure at times, especially tough times, big road trip, things of this nature, you would think Jeremy would want to lean on him. Do you think this is going to impact the team?
Yeah, I was just going to say that this is, you're coming off three losses in a row, and you only have one win in your last seven games. These are the times that you do try to lean on the experience and guys that have played and coached and won a Stanley Cup in this league. So it was strange looking down at the bench and you see Thomas Mitel and Sheldon Brookbank and Jeremy Colleton, because there's not a lot of experience down there, and they need experience to get through these tough times right now as a team.
Listen, Jeremy Crawford, or excuse me, Mark Crawford.
Long night.
Yeah,
long night,
sorry about that. Mark Crawford needed on the bench, and I think, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with Coach as well, Coach Colleton, and it's a nice sounding board for him, and he's got a real nice mix of guys, and there's a real nice, healthy conversation that happens between all of those guys on any given practice and any given day, and you want that, you need that. That balance is good. Crawford has been an excellent and wonderful resource for Colleton. So, yeah, you know, hopefully the Blackhawks do their due diligence on this and you know, figure things out, and everything ends up you know, working out in favor of the Hawks.
Yeah, and out of respect to the process also for the NHL doing their due diligence, I think the organization is handling this the right way by letting Mark Crawford step away from the team and have the NHL sort out this process.
Look, it's an interesting time in this league, and really, you know, basically in society in general,
yeah,
with claims that are made, the Bill Peters thing, that can't be tolerated. I understand
right.
that. Sean Avery, again, we'll see if what comes of his claim. I just feel like if we are going to, you know, open this Pandora's box to a coach allegedly kicking a player, you know, like where's it going to stop? And you know, if even if the claim is substantiated, I mean, I would have to think there's hundreds of coaches across the National Hockey League and at the WHL level, the OHL level, any level that have had some sort of again, I'm not condoning violence by any means, but there's also I want to say a code, but it's an interesting dynamic that is between players and coaches.
Yeah, and hockey specifically too, because hockey has this culture of a team unity in this tight-knit group. And it is, we're having this healthy conversation now because we want to change, you know, the past is the past. The conversations that are happening now is because we want to change the future, right? So the fact that this conversation is happening is healthy. Now, very different times in the past that you can attest to as well. Like, I'm sure you've had coaches that overcrossed a boundary or whatever, and right or wrong, that's how it was back then. And I'm glad we're having this conversation today so it doesn't happen in the future.
You know, I got asked about it, and I'm not so sure. There's no place for physical violence against anybody in any situation that affects them, you know, mentally or physically. Right. So every person's going to be different in terms of how much they can take in terms of what's being verbalized to them or what's being said. Now, growing up playing hockey, I had coaches that were, you know, the tough guys. They were verbally difficult, and they were never – I've never felt physically abused by a coach. Like, you get smacked on the back or you come off and, you know, I had, I guess, the same mentality of if I had a bad shift – and I got a whack on the back, and it was, hey, Gizmo, come on, you got to be better on that. You got to be on top of those pucks. For me, that was the same level of physicality as when I came off and scored a goal, and I got the big whack on the back, and it was, hey, that a boy, Gizmo.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, you know, this is an emotional sport. We play an emotional game at a very high level sometimes, and sometimes emotions overrun. But, you know, I think that if you're affected by it and you've been – you know, you're in that situation. You know, hey, listen, it's up to you to address it however you see fit. And I just think, Pat, I'm with you. I think there's a line there that you have to figure out where that is and what is what.
Yeah, and everybody's going to draw that line differently.
Correct.
Yeah. And have,
and that's the right.
You know, yeah, exactly. So we'll see how what comes of this allegation. Again, Mark Crawford stepping away. The Blackhawks are doing an investigation while that goes on. Back to the ice. Now a critical trip here as you look, you know, against the top seed in the East, Boston, on Thursday. They've yet to lose at home. Then you go and you've got a game in New Jersey that if you're looking at where they are in the standings, it's pretty much a must-win situation. You're playing a bad Devils team on Friday. And then Sunday, you're home against Arizona, who's fourth in the West. And then it's out West to take on Vegas. We know Vegas has caused his team problems. We've seen the Hawks actually take care of the Golden Knights, and then they will play Thursday at Arizona. So really the only non-playoff team, the only one you'd say is, well, that's one where the Hawks have a decisive advantage, is the Devils. And again, we can say this now until the end of March. They're all critical because of where the Hawks are in the standings.
Yeah, New Jersey was terrible tonight. They lost 7-1 against Buffalo, so they're going to be coming in hungry. And you know, I know there are rumors swirling with Taylor Hall, so a lot of shenanigans going around there. But there are no gimmies for the Blackhawks. Like, you can't look at New Jersey and be like, okay, maybe this is a winnable game. Like, you have to go in every single game. Like, the Boston game is going to be tough. Like you said, they haven't lost at home in regulation all season long, and David Pastrnak is averaging a goal per game. Like, it's going to be,
what's he have, 25
goals in 27 games. It's unbelievable. So, and he's like on pace for 70 goals. Like, it's incredible. So, and we obviously don't know. So, you know, the Hawks face the defending Stanley Cup champions tonight, and now their next game is against the runner up of the Stanley Cup from last season. So, tough challenge. And you know, I'm sure that, you know, They have to hope that they can go into that game healthy with a Strome, with a Kajula returning, with Robin Lehner healthy, because they need to be full strength for that Boston game.
Yeah, and it's back-to-back, right? So it's Boston Thursday, Jersey Friday. I would agree. I think that this is where you want to maybe try to turn the tide a little bit, right? Like, you've beaten good teams before, so maybe you go in and you upset Boston. You go in thinking you can win that game, approaching it like you've approached Vegas in the past and some of the other top teams that they played early on in the season. And, you know, those are big games right there. Those are two giant games for this hockey team. You could potentially turn things around right there. You get a win in Boston, now you're rolling, and then you roll into Jersey, and then you prey on a little bit of a weaker animal right now, and boom, now you got that. And then you roll back home, and you know, if I'm the Blackhawks right now, I'm looking at those next two games as an opportunity to maybe turn the tide a little bit and get that movement, get that momentum, take it one shift at a time and see if you can't change things.
Hey, I want to mention and thank all the Blackhawks fans out there who donated to the Movember cause. We raised over $8,000.
Awesome.
Shout out, I got a late push on Saturday night.
I saw
yeah,
that.
Yeah, dude, that was huge.
Someone leading, and then you had $1,000 jump in.
Yeah, it was. So Peck with the Bulls
Outsiders.
Matt Peck. Yeah, I think he was a little upset about it. I didn't realize this thing was that intense. But yes, my thanks to the Valley Lodge NBC Sports Chicago V viewers that were probably a little half in the bag and and had some expendable cash and gave to a great cause. We appreciate, what we really appreciate is that Gizmo and I were able to use our razors late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, and get back to the ugly goofballs that we normally are.
I've been overwhelmed by people telling me I should have kept it. I thought everybody hated it. Like, people were coming up to me at the game today. They're like, oh, what happened? And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, there was there was no chance that thing was staying on my lip for a day longer.
Waddle and Sylvie had a poll. Do I look better with it or not? And 53% said yes. And I was like, I don't care.
I don't care.
They give me 99%. Guess what, boys and girls? I'm not wearing it.
Did your wife like it? Was she on board?
She did. She loved, but, you know, I think she
It was good for a month, and then it's like, okay, get out.
She felt like she was hanging out with somebody else. Now she's back to the goofball. Any Checkpoint Charlie little stories you got for us? I don't. Gizmo, you don't know about this because Charlie's out on the road now. It's a little wrinkle we're adding to the podcast where we have Charlie, you know, tell us about an NHL city, whether it's a good watering hole maybe or a great meal or some idiosyncrasies about the building.
Okay.
You name it, what have you.
Okay.
So we call it Checkpoint Charlie for obvious reasons.
I don't have a Checkpoint Charlie because the last road trip I was at was Vegas-Nashville. And I didn't go to Dallas or Colorado. So I will be in Boston, though. Maybe I'll come home with a Checkpoint Charlie. So we'll see.
I will tell you the bar that I went to and drank with Barry Melrose and Steve Levy after the Hawks won 2013. I have to remember the name of that bar.
Okay.
But Steve Levy is a part owner, and I will help you.
I was there for that night also, but I was there. I was above the glass as a fan that night, so it's cool. It's cool to go back as a media member and covering this team. But
will you be in Jersey on Friday?
I won't be in Jersey.
The moms will though.
So what's the record with
2-4 in the last 3 years? Yeah, I was hoping there was going to be a good statistical advantage having the moms, but again, you know, it's been rough sledding a little bit the last couple of years. So
I was going to say that they're undefeated on the second of a back-to-back, but that got changed against Colorado.
Yes, it did.
So we'll see if they can get back to their winning ways against New Jersey.
All right, we do think we'll see Strome, we'll see Kajula, and then we're still iffy on Shaw, right?
Yeah, not sure what happened to Shaw. I think they're trying to be careful to not misdiagnose it. So we'll see, but. You know, he's obviously, his presence is felt in the lineup, and you hope that he's healthy because you don't want to play with 11 forwards again.
That is a wrap for this edition of the Blackhawks Talk podcast. Our thanks to Charlie Romeliotis and Nick Gizmondi for joining us this week. Thank you, as always, for listening. Don't forget to rate us. We really appreciate all the feedback that you guys give. Another record-setting month at the Blackhawks Talk podcast. How many countries did we have in October?
I don't know the total number there was a one episode where we had like 62 or something.
Well, that's what I'm looking for. Incredible. I'm like, come with the goods, Charlie.
But that was one episode.
That's 62 different countries.
I don't know if I can name.
It's like, no. That's what I said on the last podcast.
I can write 62 countries.
All right, so for those of you in Kazakhstan, thank you for listening.
Zimbabwe.
For Nick and Charlie, I'm Pat. So long. We'll catch you next time.